When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's episode is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Joyce for bringing Naven's story to my attention. It is listeners like you that keep this podcast going. This week's episode has a video of some body cam footage that is supplementary material which I will link in the Facebook group. I think seeing the monsters and their reactions of finding out they killed their own child really cements in just how self-serving these people are. Parola, Illinois. A grandmother knocked on the door of her son, desperate for him to return her two grandsons of whom she had legal custody of. This grandmother knew the youngest child, 8-year-old Naven, needed medical attention. But she had no way of knowing that just 6 months later, this little boy would die of starvation and neglect, weighing almost half of what he should have for his age. This grandmother begged police and child protection for their help, only for these same agencies to turn their back on her and instead assist these so-called parents to regain custody of two innocent lives. This is Naven's story. Naven Jones was born December 7th, 2013, to parents Stephanie Jones and Brendan Walker in Parola, Illinois. Naven was the second child born to the couple, with an older brother, Bentley, born 3 years earlier in 2010. Well, Naven also had another brother, Nigel, who died at just 3 months old in 2006, supposedly due to SIDS. But due to what is to come in this story, there is suggestion that maybe little Nigel's death was due to neglect and abuse, as his death was, quote, due to the circumstances surrounding evidence of unsafe sleep, unquote. When Bentley was born premature, Jones and Walker were deemed unfit parents, and he was taken into the custody of Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, or DCFS as I'll refer to them throughout this episode. Bentley would remain in foster care until 2012 when he was 2 years old. Jones and Walker did not learn from their lesson, however, because when Naven was born a year later, he was born with narcotics in his system. He and Bentley were both taken into DCFS custody, where they would remain until 2017. Courts in Tazewell County, Illinois, appointed the boy's paternal grandmother, Laura Walker, as their legal guardian and placed both Bentley and Naven into her care. But this was merely the paperwork to make it official, because Bentley and Naven had been living with Laura since Naven was 5 months old. Jones and Walker were still permitted access to the children, however, resulting in multiple calls to DCFS. One visit to inspect the boys found that their mother, Stephanie Jones, had recently spanked 4-year-old Naven so hard there were bruises on his bottom. Despite this, DCFS wouldn't make the ruling that Jones and Walker weren't allowed visitation with the boys, or at the very least, order supervised visits with a caseworker. No, it was business as usual, and Jones and Walker were allowed unlimited access to Bentley and Naven. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. July 10th, 2021. Naven and Bentley's grandmother, Laura Walker, had to make an emergency trip to Florida to care for an elderly relative. She had planned to remain there for about 3 weeks, but because of her caring responsibilities, she couldn't also watch Bentley and Naven. Now, I'm not sure why DCFS weren't contacted and respite care arranged. A licensed foster family to then step in and take the boys for those 3 weeks to make sure they were getting what they needed during this time. But instead of doing that, Laura decided to leave Bentley and Naven in the care of their parents, Stephanie Jones and Brendan Walker. August 1st, 2021. Laura had returned home and sent her son a message requesting for the boys to be returned to her. However, neither Walker nor Jones replied. Laura would apparently wait 2 more weeks before driving over to the home herself to fetch Bentley and Naven. August 17th, 2021. She knocked and there was no answer. She looked through the window and found the home to be full of trash with old food all over the ground. It was then Jones opened the door, screaming at Laura that she would never see the boys again. Laura went back to her car and she called the police. But as we have seen in so many different cases, police were reluctant to get involved in cases concerning custody disputes, which in their eyes, despite numerous reports of abuse and neglect against the children. That's all it was, a custody dispute. And in the eyes of the police, the children were safe. Laura would then contact DCFS and she would tell them that she was done. She no longer wanted to deal with this issue between her son and grandsons. That she wanted to relinquish care and have Bentley and Naven placed into foster care. In response to this call, DCFS opened a case of suspected neglect. Priola Public Schools were contacted, and it was confirmed that neither boy was registered to attend the following school year. Laura would also report the children missing with Washington Police. That's Washington, Illinois, not Washington, D.C. I was confused at first as well. But Laura lived with the boys in Washington, Illinois, so Laura requested the police conduct a welfare check to ensure their safety. And honestly, the police response to this is dismal. Washington Police made several attempts at checking on the boys. These excuse for attempts apparently included simply knocking on the front door and leaving when no one answered, leaving voicemail messages, and asking acquaintances who claimed the family moved to Florida and wouldn't be coming back. It would take another 2 weeks for police to speak with Walker, and all he would say they moved to Florida and weren't coming back, and his mother would never, quote, see the fucking children again, unquote. That she was the one who mistreated the children. Based on this, on November 3rd, 2021, DCFS decided the reports about Jones and Walker and the conditions the children were living in were, quote-unquote, unfounded. January 2022. Even though Walker told DCFS the family weren't going to return to Illinois, that's exactly what they did, moving back to Priola. On February 14th, 2022, DCFS received an anonymous tip the children were seen in the area and not going to school. Not only that, but Naven had bruises on his eyes. And that the little boy had been beaten for being so hungry that in the middle of the night he stole chicken Jones cooked for the family's dogs. It was also said that Jones would lock Naven in the basement when he was apparently misbehaving, or when she simply did not want to deal with them. And I say them because it wasn't just Naven that was being abused and neglected. Bentley was also being mistreated. Walker would join in on the abuse, using derogatory names when referring to the boys. This led to an investigation by DCFS. Caseworker Kathy Harvey made several visits to the home the month before Naven's death. But on 2 occasions, including one where she had made an appointment, no one answered the door. Finally, on February 22, 2022, Kathy finally got to speak to Jones, Walker and Naven. During their conversation, Naven was wearing an oversized hoodie and a blanket covering his lower half. He was eating popcorn while drinking juice throughout her visit. And that Naven was observed to be sickly, thin and small. According to Kathy, she told Walker that the little boy needed to be examined by a doctor. But Walker told her that he couldn't because he and Jones were not Navin's legal guardian. It was in fact his grandmother. During this conversation with his parents present, which is important to point out here, but Navin told Kathy that he wanted to stay with his parents and not go back to his grandmother's. Navin would also tell the caseworker he would eat all the time, just never gained weight. Now, I really don't think that is something an 8-year-old would say on their own. And given his parents were present for the caseworker interview, I really believe he was coached into saying all of this. And he complied because he is a child, possibly believing that what he was saying would come true. Heck, he was already getting popcorn and juice by cooperating here. Jones and Walker also would support Navin's story and state that their son ate all the time, Walker claiming Navin could eat an entire pizza in one sitting. According to the DCFS report, Navin also had pick marks on his hands, and pictures of these wounds were taken. Navin explained these away by saying he did this to himself. And honestly, if that is the case, if a child is self-harming by picking at their hands to cause any sort of injury to themselves, something is causing anxiety to that child. And considering Navin wasn't going to school and the concerning reports coming into DCFS, it would seem that the anxiety was coming from within the home. That is enough for me to separate child and parent, or even to remove the child for a time to see what was going on here. Jones and Walker stated their desire to gain back legal guardianship over Navin and Bentley, so they could take their children to the doctors and enroll them into school. I mean, they could have just returned them to Laura Walker to get that done, and then gone about regaining custody of the boys the right way, once their children had the basic care they needed. Instead of removing Navin and Bentley, caseworker Kathy told the couple she would help them get short-term guardianship over the boys. Kathy noted on her report both boys were safe and closed her report. 2 days later, Stephanie Jones contacted DCFS and told them she was now concerned about Navin, that he was playing with his own feces. That the reason she didn't raise this concern during the home visit with caseworker Kathy was because she didn't want to embarrass Navin. I can't find in my research, however, if any action was taken because of this, or if DCF offered any services to Jones to help Navin. I doubt it, though. I really wouldn't be surprised if this was just left as a note on his file, no further action. March 2022. DCFS contacted the boy's grandmother, Laura Walker, and asked her to sign over guardianship of Navin and Bentley to Walker and Jones. At first, Laura refused, and instead begged DCFS as well as Washington Police and Parola Police to get Navin back so she could get him the medical attention he needed. March 14, 2022. Laura would concede and signed the paperwork, allowing her son temporary custody of the boys. The paperwork was sent via post, but would apparently get lost along the way and never arrive at DCFS. 2 weeks later, Laura returned the paperwork for a second time, but it really wouldn't matter now. That same evening, March 29, 2022, at 8 p.m, 8-year-old Navin Jones would be declared dead.
What's the address you need the ambulance at?
1717 Northdale.
Is that a house? Is that a house or an apartment?
It's a house.
Okay, what is your callback phone number?
Damn it. I'm sorry.
What's your phone number? Tell me exactly what happened.
My son, since I got him from his grandmother's after she threw him out, he's been doing a lot of really weird things, like drinking his own urine. He's pooped all over the house, smearing it everywhere. Sometimes he'll eat a whole bunch. Sometimes he doesn't want to eat at all.
Okay. What's he doing today, ma'am?
It's getting late, so I'm sorry.
What's happened today?
I went upstairs because I hadn't heard from him and found him unresponsive on the floor.
Is he breathing?
No.
Okay. I am sending the paramedic.
I had CPR before I called you guys, and I can't get anything.
Okay. Is there a defibrillator available? If so, send someone to get it now and tell me when you have it.
I don't have one.
Okay, I am sending the paramedics to help you now. Stand the line, and I'll tell you exactly what to do next. He is an adult, is that correct?
I'm sorry.
How old is your son?
Eight.
He's eight?
Yes.
Okay, are you with him right now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to help you. I know you said you've tried CPR, but we're going to go through this, okay? Tell me when you're ready. What's your name? Ma'am, what's your name?
Stephanie Jones.
All right, Stephanie, listen to me. Are you home alone?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to lay him flat on his back on the ground and remove anything under his head, okay? Tell me when
I
that's
did.
Done.
I removed his clothes and he was cold, so I put him in the shower and used the hose. I don't know what to do.
Okay, how long ago did you find him?
Maybe 10 minutes ago.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and do compressions. I'm going to tell you how to do chest compressions. I want you to place the heel of your hand on the breastbone in the center of the chest, right between the nipples.
Okay. I got to put you on speaker.
That's fine. Please do that, Stephanie.
Okay.
I want you to place the heel of your hand on the breastbone in the center of the chest, right between the nipples. Put your other hand on top of that. I want you to pump the chest hard and fast, at least twice per second and 2 inches deep. Please let the chest come all the way up between pumps, and we're going to do this until help can take over. I want you to count out loud so I can count with you, okay?
Okay.
Start.
Yeah, so I think they're here. Someone's knocking on my door.
Is your door unlocked?
No.
Okay, go unlock it and come right back immediately.
March 29th, 2022. Jones contacted 911 in a panic, stating that her son was found unresponsive. Emergency responders were on the scene within minutes. It was clear it was too late and Navin was already deceased. Navin was rushed to St. Francis Medical Center, where he would be officially pronounced dead. There is body cam footage of when Walker and Jones were told their son is gone. There really isn't any point playing the audio on this in this episode because there isn't much to hear, but I will post links of where you can watch this in the Facebook group. But in this footage, you can see Jones sitting on the steps of the home crying into her hands while smoking a cigarette. When Walker is told there is no way Navin can be saved, Walker walks to the car and smashes his fists onto the hood, shouting, quote, "There is no fucking way," unquote. Now, I'm sure both of their behaviours had nothing to do with Navin, and more self-serving and putting on an act, knowing they were going to go to jail for a very long time. Doctors on the scene would later report Navin to be severely malnourished and emaciated, his entire body covered in bruises with ligature marks on his wrists and bed sores on his back, suggesting he was confined for extended periods of time. Priola County Coroner James Harwood conducted Navin's autopsy and called his death one of the worst cases of abuse he'd ever seen in his long career. Blood tests showed this little boy was regularly malnourished and dehydrated. At the time of his death, weighing only 30 pounds. When at 8 years old, he should have weighed something more like 55 pounds. Navin was starved to the point that he weighed almost half of what the average boy his age does. Navin had lost nearly all of his fat stores, and his organs were smaller than normal when the autopsy was performed. And that usually occurs when the body eats all of its fat stores. It will then start to eat into the muscles and organs. Navin's cause of death was determined to be due to chronic malnutrition and physical abuse. Forensic pathologist Amanda Humans added that she observed bruising to Navin's body in various stages of healing. And due to muscle atrophy, his ability would have been limited at the time of his death. Due to his so-called parents withholding food and water from this sweet little boy, he would have struggled to walk.
First tonight, the parents of 8-year-old Navin Jones indicted on first-degree murder charges. Jones died in Peoria March 29th after prosecutors alleged months of abuse and neglect by his parents. Our Demetrius Sanders joins us now live in studio and tells us what the Peoria County State's Attorney is saying about the indictment. Demetrius?
Well, Mark, Navin's parents, 35-year-old Stephanie Jones and 40-year-old Brandon Walker, are now facing 6 counts of first-degree murder each. 3 of those murder charges carrying a brutal and heinous enhancement, which could land them life in prison if convicted. Now this afternoon, Peoria County State's Attorney Jody Hughes describing mounds of evidence which she says supports the charges. This includes an autopsy which showed Navin weighed 30 pounds at the time of his death, who's also detailing text messages between Naven's parents where they discussed locking him in his room, tying him up in the basement, and beating him because he urinated in his room because he was unable to open the door. She added that Naven's mother complained about him during a 911 call before telling dispatchers that he wasn't breathing nearly a minute into the conversation.
With his parents, for the last 6 months of Naven's life, he was tortured, beaten, starved, and imprisoned, all by the two people there to protect him.
Stephanie Jones and Brendan Walker were both arrested and charged with first-degree murder in connection with the death of their son. And if found guilty, they were facing sentences of life in prison. Naven's brother Bentley was taken into DCFS custody and placed with a foster family. Body cam from inside the home showed the clutter and the almost bare room that Naven had been living in. Nothing except for a dresser drawer, a bed with no bedding and one toy. When in comparison, the rest of the home on Northgale Avenue was well furnished, with a fully stocked fridge and pantry. Naven's bedroom had no doorknob and instead was held shut with a rope to stop Naven from escaping. Detective Roberto Vasquez, who attended the scene, said the smell coming from the little boy's room was unlike anything else he had smelt before. The room was covered in urine and feces. A note on the bedroom door, supposedly for Naven's brother Bentley, said, quote, "Don't give Naven any food or drink. Do not let him out of the room. He has what he needs until I wake up," unquote. Jones stated the last time she saw Naven was 8 p.m. the day before. And when she discovered him unresponsive and cold almost 24 hours later, she put him in the shower, thinking that would wake him up. But there was no waking Naven up, because he had had a cardiac arrest triggered by starvation. In his police interview, Walker claimed he was at work with Bentley when Jones called him to tell him that Naven was unresponsive and not breathing. Walker claimed Naven's room was in the condition it was because Naven would constantly wet the bed, and he had to be locked in his room to stop him sneaking out during the night and eating all the food in the kitchen. That he was a mischievous child who would eat dog bones and allege he liked how they tasted for attention. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. December 7th, 2023. Stephanie Jones would accept a plea deal where she would plead guilty and testify against her boyfriend Brendan Walker. In exchange, the life sentence was excluded from sentencing. Not that that would matter, because during sentencing on April 25th, 2024, she was sentenced to 100 years in prison. A sentence Priola County Circuit Judge John Vespa has ordered she serve all of, because she refused to take responsibilities for her actions and her role in her son's death. So she got what she deserved in the end. Before sentencing, Jones read an apology letter to both her sons. She said she experienced symptoms of mental illness for as long as she could remember. She said she regretted not seeking help sooner and she wished she could bring Naven back. Jones said Bentley should not blame himself and apologised for what happened. In sentencing, Judge Vespa also told Bentley not to blame himself for what happened, that he was stunned by the time and effort Jones took in starving Naven. He said he believed she was, quote, a bald-faced liar, unquote, and the prospects of rehabilitation were pretty much zero, quote, "The punishment I want to give is not available," unquote. Judge Vespa said his sentence of 100-year imprisonment was the maximum allowed under the law and he wished he could give more. December 2023. Brendan Walker's criminal trial would commence in front of presiding Judge John Vespa. Yes, the same judge that would later sentence Jones. Over a 5-day trial, the prosecution and defence argued over whether Jones's guilty plea should be admissible as evidence of Walker's part in the death of their son.
Prosecutors also showed text messages between Walker and Naven's mother, Stephanie Jones, who recently pleaded guilty to murder. Many of the messages showed Walker agreeing with Stephanie as she discussed getting frustrated with Naven, tying him up and wanting to beat him.
"I told Naven he's being tied up downstairs at night. Him standing in the corner next to the bed and purposely pissing on the wall and carpet is not okay whatsoever.
The DCFS worker who saw Navin a month before he died also took the stand.
Did you feel the child was safe?
At that time, yes.
Defense attorney Gary Morris called on a witness who's known Walker for more than a decade, who said he is a good parent and Stephanie Jones is the issue.
The prosecution argued Walker failed to help Navin and instead chose to be compliant with the abuse and neglect, and that at any stage Walker could have taken the boys and left, that he could have gotten his son the medical attention he desperately needed, but he didn't. Presented to the court were text messages between the couple. Among them, Jones tells Walker about her plans to tie Navin up, lock him in the basement and, quote, show him what hunger means, unquote, after he asked a stranger for food. Jones complains about Navin leaving his room in the night to eat pizza crusts from the trash and worries she might lose her temper and hurt him. Walker generally responding and agreeing with Jones, encouraging her to abuse and neglect the little boy, and on several occasions calling Navin derogatory names.
Navin was always a very good, polite, happy kid.
Thursday, the defense rested its case in day four of Brandon Walker's first-degree murder trial for the death of his 8-year-old son, Navin Jones, but not before calling Walker himself to the stand. Walker went into his relationship with Navin's mother, ex-girlfriend Stephanie Jones, saying although they lived together with their two sons, they weren't close.
I hadn't slept in the same bed with her for 4 years minimum, probably five.
Walker says he spent most of his time at work, rarely at home with the kids. He also said he didn't know if Jones was feeding the kids breakfast or lunch, while also denying ever being physically abusive towards Navin.
I was spanked when I was a kid, and I remember I did not like it.
Have you been present at any time when those contusions or abrasions were put on Navin's body?
There's no way I would have allowed someone to do that.
He also testified the last time he saw Navin alive was almost 2 days before his death, a statement prosecutors challenged during cross-examination.
He asked you the first time, when's the last time you saw Navin? You said yesterday about 3 o'clock.
And if you remember correctly, I corrected myself later on in the interview and I said it was probably the day before.
Accused of denying Navin food and medical care, the state showed Walker photos of his son's declining physical state during the last few months of his life while he lived with his parents.
Does Navin look gaunt? He doesn't look like his face is collapsed in or sunken, right?
No, he looks fine.
He looks fine? How does he look compared to the other two?
Not as good.
What?
Not as good.
Not as good?
That's what I said.
The defense argued that it was Jones that killed Navin and not Walker. That Walker slept in a different bed to his partner and they were considering separating. That Walker did not have any contact with Navin in the days before his death, so he couldn't be responsible for his injuries nor be aware of just how dire his situation was. But I call bullshit on this. What happened to Navin didn't happen over the course of days. This happened over months of systematic abuse and starvation. Of course, Walker cannot control Jones's actions, but he is responsible for his own. And Navin was his son, and he was responsible to keep that child safe. Standing idly by and throwing your hands up in defeat isn't an option. You man up and protect your child. You give that child what it needs to thrive and grow. And the jury agreed with me, taking them just 45 minutes to return the verdict of guilty for the first-degree murder of 8-year-old Navin Jones. Walker remained still during the reading of the verdict. He sat at the defense table with his hands covering his mouth and showing little to no reaction. February 28, 2024. Brendan Walker was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Judge Vespa calling Navin's murder the worst case of child abuse in his career on the bench. In the victim impact statements, a letter from Bentley was read in which he described the hurt he felt over losing his brother. He said Navin was the best brother he could have ever asked for. He said he didn't know why his parents did what they did to Navin, or why he had to see it happen. That Navin was restrained and they told him their grandmother had died. He said he wanted his parents to be locked away in prison forever for what they did to Navin.
First tonight, celebrating a young life. Good evening and thanks for watching. I'm Durante Matthews. Family, friends, and community members coming out to honor the life of Navin Jones. Police say the 8-year-old Peoria boy died March 29th as a result of abuse and neglect. WMBD's Liz Lape shows us how people are honoring Jones and raising awareness for child abuse.
An energetic, smart little boy. That's how family remembers Navin Jones.
I haven't seen Navin in a long time, but when he was little, he was very happy, very loving, loved to be around people.
Melissa Logan, a relative of Jones, organized the celebration of life for him Saturday.
He suffered a lot. There was a point where he was a very happy little boy.
She says it was a life tragically cut short. The 8-year-old boy from Peoria died late March from what police say was the result of abuse and neglect. Both of his parents, Stephanie Jones and Brandon Walker, now behind bars and facing 6 counts of first-degree murder charges in connection to his death. Saturday's event was open to the public, and Logan says she wants to honor Jones by making light of a dark situation.
Just know that these babies are all blessings. Nobody needs to go through any of that. If anybody needs to reach out, you know, for help or whatever, there's lots of people that can help.
Logan says she hopes that the community will learn from Jones's story and work to fight against child abuse.
Make sure that you try to check on your neighbors. If you see something that you don't feel is right, be very diligent about it and, you know, keep checking into it. Even if you can't personally do it, keep reaching out.
In Peoria, Liz Lape, WMBD News.
Navin Jones's funeral was held April 5, 2022, at the Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church in Morton, Illinois. His tiny body was buried at the Swan Lake Memorial Gardens in Priola. Navin would be described by those who knew and loved him as a sweet and loving boy who had a great smile. He was so full of personality and always happy. Navin loved to play with the family dog, as well as ride his bike and scooter. A little boy that will be truly missed by his beloved big brother and everyone who knew him. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the case we discussed today, or any case we talk about on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives on Facebook. Like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Twitter, search lives_stolen, or on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.